You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Harvey Levin here.
Jason?
We are going to talk about Elon Musk and his future at Twitter, given the poll that he commissioned that is not working out for him very well.
It's working out exactly as you expect, isn't it?
Well, we'll talk about it.
All right.
I want to start with Meghan and Harry. So now there are reports, and again, these are unconfirmed reports, but honestly, they would be unsurprising. Reports that they are either demanding an apology from the royal family and or a meeting with the royal family where they can air their grievances and have them react to it. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, I'm kind of, you know, hesitant here because look, I didn't live in that world, so this is all just, you know, people looking from the outside in. But what turned this for me, and actually a fair number of things turned it for me, when Harry said that his brother screamed at him and he was terrified, Jason, if you were a member of the royal family and you walk up to your brother who is going to be king and your dad and you say to them, I'm going to just drop this on you now. We're leaving, but we have created five options. And the five options go from fully in to fully out, but we're going to choose the middle where we can be both in and out of the royal family, basically having our royal cake and eating it too. And then his brother just screams at him because in anger. A, what's so surprising about that? Wouldn't you expect a reaction like that? B, what brother has not screamed at his brother growing up or later? C, how is that terrifying? It is just beyond to me.
So I think this just plays right into what we've seen from Harry and Meghan from the beginning, which is this great desire to, I think, have your cake and eat it too is the way to say it, right? They don't want to be in the family, but they want the hundreds of millions of dollars that come with being in the family. They want to exploit their name to get deals with Netflix and do docuseries.
Spotify.
They want to, and she, Meghan has gotten voiceover work for Disney based on their name. So they want to take advantage of everything that, all the good stuff that comes with being a part of the royal family. But they don't want to take any of the negative stuff that comes with it. The idea that she has, I think, that she was going to be able to join this family and have her life, her private life, remain private and not be subjected to all the nonsense that goes on with being the sovereign of an enormous, important country, is just, to me, is foolish. And then to have, so Harry goes to William and says, well, we're not only are we want half in, half out, we want the benefits, but none of the bad stuff. We're going to talk publicly about—
Well, I don't know that they said that then.
Well, okay, fair enough. At the time,
but, I mean, who would think they'd do Oprah Winfrey, and then make a deal with Netflix,
and then do a 10-part docuseries,
right.
Yeah, all this stuff. But just the idea that you're going to be able to walk out on your family and not have some sort of hatred, or not even hatred, vitriol,
anger
thrown back at you, is insane. This is not any family. We're good riddance. This is a proud royal family that has been in power for hundreds of years. And for you to go fully like Fergie on them just is, you know, it's, and plus Harry and William were really best friends growing up. They had to survive their mother's death together. They were best friends, and he feels betrayed by him.
And, I got to tell you, I go back to the very beginning here, and it's weird. When Meghan said basically she really didn't know much about Harry, that he was a royal or whatnot.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, what? Who didn't know that? And she was a well-informed, you know, college-educated, you know, person who was really in the middle of pop culture
Harvey,
and everything else.
She was hooked up on a blind date with him. Or, right?
Right.
She had weeks to learn everything she wanted to know about this man.
I got to tell you. I mean, look, just again, outsider looking in, it's hard for me to believe she didn't know,
yeah.
Number one. And that sets the table for all this other stuff. When you watch it, a lot of this felt performative to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, look, it's their right to do whatever they want to do. Everybody I've talked to and, you know, and just in passing and people who have mentioned it to me, this did not go over well for them.
Yes. I think they are. I mean, look, they're making millions of dollars. The Netflix documentary, the ratings have been fantastic.
Yep.
People are certainly interested, but I think it's car crash interested and not sort of some desire to really understand things
and embrace them.
I haven't seen any of that. To your point, just anecdotally, and the people that bring this up to me, which is, you know, not. It's relatively often. They are all anti-Herod.
I know.
Every one of them.
Same. It's so funny that in a weird way, by them going as hard as they have, this has helped the royal family in ways they couldn't have helped
themselves.
Totally
agree. Especially Charles, who's such like a bumbling kind of king.
Right.
You know, I think people feel a little sorry for him.
No, I think that's right. I think that's right. Actually, them being quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's played really well.
Yeah. It's interesting.
And I think Williams is popular as ever, honestly.
I do too. Yeah. And Kate.
And Kate Middleton. Yeah, exactly. Although, where has she been?
She's been around, and I think I think her popularity has increased.
Yeah.
Especially, when they were talking in this documentary about Meghan was just the better royal.
Right.
It's like, really?
Yes. Right.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Right. Okay, Elon Musk.
Yeah, so Elon Musk put up a poll this weekend, as he'd done previously. So if you remember, a few weeks ago, Elon Musk put up the poll, should Donald Trump remain on Twitter? And the voters on Twitter, and he abided by this, the voters by 52-48% said, yes, we want Donald Trump back. So he allowed Donald Trump back. Donald Trump hasn't really come back. He then this weekend puts up a poll responding to sort of the clarion call of dislike that for Elon that has been out there in the public and his running of Twitter, that saying it should I step aside as the CEO, as the person who's running Twitter.
And he said he would abide by the poll.
And he said he would, like he did with the Donald Trump one, he said I'll abide by the poll. He is losing that poll, and I think it's been long enough and enough people have responded. It looks like he's going to lose the poll. So the question becomes, of course, does he abide by that? Now, I think it's fascinating to watch this happen. Twitter's a private company. There's no sale stock price that you can look at to see how people are responding to the fact he may step aside. I will say that Tesla's stock hit a 52-week low once again today, as it has every day for the
Why
last couple of
Tesla
weeks.
Why is Tesla so aligned with Twitter in this?
Because I think Tesla was viewed largely from an investment point of view as a cult of his personality, right? They've always had the stock
Isn't
price.
Isn't that weird a little bit? It's about a car.
Well, yes, but it's a disruptive car, you know, and it's a company run by this futurist and genius who was able to pull, you know, 5-6 years ago, everybody thought Tesla was lost and then he had no chance. And then he pulls it back and it becomes this enormous concern where he makes hundreds of billions of dollars. And so they see that he can do this and it becomes sort of much like Steve Jobs and Apple were. It's not that he can't move on, and when Steve Jobs died, Tim
Cook
took over, and the stock prices gone bananas. But Steve Jobs, it was the company was wrapped up with him, and he was wrapped up with the company. Same thing with Tesla, and I think when he is taking it on the chin like this, Tesla falls as well, and the stock price has gotten annihilated.
So what does it mean if Elon Musk steps down as the leader of Twitter? What does that mean?
It means that you have a fledgling company.
No, but does he have an idea of who runs it?
Yeah, who knows? It's going to be somebody who's, you know, responsible only to Elon and answers to only to Elon.
And then you could pull a Steve Jobs where Elon comes back.
Yes,
because
saves the day,
that
right?
Brian and saves the day, which isn't beyond the pale.
The problem is that they don't have a product people seem to want to pay for. Apple had a product, they just couldn't figure out how to market it and deliver it. I don't know what the Twitter, people love Twitter, but there's been no sign that people are willing to pay for it. Advertising revenue for digital ad revenue is down. The company was losing gobs of money before he took over. I just don't see that there's a way to pull that out.
And if it doesn't work, honestly, we move on. It's like, why is there so much hand-wringing, especially in the media, about Twitter should be this? I mean, it's like it's a private company, everybody. Relax.
Right.
You know what? And if it goes into the ground and Elon kills it,
something else will be there.
Something else will fill that hole.
Right.
I mean, we survived for many decades. In fact, several centuries. In fact, many centuries without social media.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, social media may have actually hurt this country.
Yeah.
So, you know, first of all,
I don't know how much that shows, though. I mean, yeah, Homo sapiens have been around for 135,000 years, but it doesn't mean that Twitter didn't become a really important part.
I'm not saying it's not important. Yeah. MySpace was important.
Well, yeah, it's true.
MySpace was really important because it was the only game in town.
Yeah.
And so now it's not, Twitter's not the only game in town. You still have Facebook, you have TikTok, you have Instagram, you have all sorts of platforms. And there'll be a new one that'll take over just the way TikTok seems to be surpassing Facebook. I mean, that's just the way of the world.
Yeah.
And so the idea that there is some social responsibility that goes beyond somebody running a company, yeah, I mean, maybe there is some, but it's being treated like it's a branch of government,
right,
by the media.
It is being treated.
And
right.
It's absurd.
And people say that, like, when he shuts people out, even Elon Musk fell into it, people have a First Amendment right to speak. There's no First Amendment. It's a private company. There's no First Amendment right when it comes to a private company.
Are you a little put off by if he wants to ban these journalists,
yeah,
he bans the journalists. I'm not saying it's right, but it's his right.
Sure.
And they're making, you know, this is, I think, the self-absorption of media, that when a journalist gets banned, it just amplifies and gets magnified by them in such a way and by the media that, you know, it's like, we get it, guys. This is not Congress passing a law. This, he has a right to do
and
it.
And sure, it's hypocritical, but so what? He's allowed to be hypocritical. It's his own company. He can change his mind on a dime.
I mean, for crying out loud, you know, remember Trump was banning reporters from the White House. That was bad.
That's a First Amendment issue.
That was a First Amendment issue.
Right.
This is not a First Amendment issue.
No, it's not.
And it's absurd.
One thing that I noticed over the weekend, of course, Elon Musk is not at Twitter headquarters, hand-wringing about the company's plight. He's in Dubai with box seats for the World Cup final, where shaking everybody's hand, happier, seemingly aglow. And again, if this was a government official and the country was going down the toilet and he was doing that, that's one thing. It's a private guy with a private company. You know, he doesn't even sell shares. There's not even responsibility to shareholders.
Last thing.
Yeah.
He's a really smart guy, right?
Yeah.
And brilliant guy.
Brilliant.
And he understands money and finance. He's run companies, right? What's his end game here? He knows that the things he's doing, the erratic things he's doing, isn't helping the business. So what's his end game here? Does he think this is going to become so disruptive that it's entertaining? Is he willing to lose $44 billion and have it just go into the ground? What's his end game here? Because he's not an idiot. I mean, people are kind of treating him like an idiot here, almost like he's non-compos menace. He's not.
He's a genius, but I think he misplayed this terribly, terribly. And I think he made a huge mistake. And I don't know what his end game is. I don't know that he has a strategy to get where he wants to go.
I
don't think he's playing chess and we're playing checkers. I don't think that. I think he made a huge mistake. As geniuses do sometimes, you know, they make mistakes. I think he made a huge mistake.
Well, he may have made a mistake. I think he did. But I don't think he's just flying by the seat of his pants. He's got to have an end game to this thing. What's his end game? I can't figure this out. He is not going to just say, yeah, I'll just he was worried enough about the $44 billion that he tried to get out of the deal in the first place and then got boxed in and had to do it.
Right.
So that money means something to him. And now that money is on the line, he's not just flying by the seat of his pants and doing these erratic things. What is his end game?
I don't know if you call this an end game or not. I think what he wants to do is get the company's feet settled under it again and start to grow. And I think there's a potential path forward.
But
how does he
do that with what he's doing now?
It's hard to see how that happens. I mean, especially now that he presumably is going to step down as the chairman of Twitter and turn it over to somebody else. But I really do think that he didn't know how badly this was going to go. By the way, he'll never lose the $44 billion. The Twitter brand name alone is worth tens of billions. He may lose 10 or 15, but remember, he very much loved being the richest man in the world. He's now either second or third, and given what Tesla's stock price has done today in the last week, and given the value of Twitter has gone from $44 billion to a lot less than that, he is now at the risk of dropping down to just being worth like $150, $160 billion. It's going to be hard for him to make ends meet.
Well, he was also almost bankrupt back in the day, and he was able to turn that around.
True.
And it underscores what I'm saying, which is that he's a businessman. And it is odd to me. I just feel like there's another shoe that's going to drop here.
You think he's got a car? I don't know what the metaphor is. He's got an ace in the hole.
He's got something. And I mean, he just is not the kind of person who is not strategic. He is strategic.
But he tried to get out of the deal, right? Desperately.
So he got boxed in, but
that was his own doing, right? He's the one that signed this contract. There was a lot written about this. He signed this contract and bizarrely did not have clauses in it that allowed him to get out in a way that he could have gotten out. So he made a huge error of judgment and I think reason in his own hubris. He just felt that he was so much smarter than everybody that he could eventually make it work. And I just think he's got this company that it's an albatross. It can't be profitable to the he's got debt to service.
I'm telling you.
He's got to make quantities of money.
There is something that's going to happen.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. But there's something else.
I think you're going to see him sell it to, I think he sells Twitter within the year to some sort of hedge fund group and washes his hands of it at a multi-billion dollar loss.
We will see. See you tomorrow.
Bye.